talking about chicken a la king,
mango and garbanzo tabbouleh,
grilled potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil,
zucchini ziti,
granola fruit bar.
Look at all this beautiful food.
Welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, the show where I interview amazing humans with amazing minds, but all I care about is what is in their fridge. I'm very excited about my guest today.
Heyo.
Jimmy O. Yang is a writer, actor, comedian. He's been on Silicon Valley, Crazy Rich Asians. His book is How to American, and he's going to be on the upcoming Steve Carell vehicle, Space Force.
Space Force.
With Tawny Newsome, friend of the show.
The best.
The best. Welcome, Jimmy.
Hello, Dan.
Along with all those credits, you are an avid foodie.
Avid.
A world-traveling foodie.
Absolutely.
A man after my own heart. I didn't realize it until we followed each other on the gram, and I was like, oh, okay. I see you. I see you, Jimmy.
You gave me some great suggestions, man. You know.
Before we get to all the world traveling and all that, we are going to go through your fridge.
Of course.
Jimmy sent a bunch of fridge pictures, which you can check out on my Instagram, at StandUpDan. Let's get right to it. First of all, mm-hmm. did you stage this at all?
Or no, not at all.
Really? I mean, an organized fridge guy.
I try to, you know, have the drinks ready. So I want to feel like whenever I open my fridge, it's like MTV Cribs, you know what I mean?
I mean, it looks like it. The labels are all pointed in the right direction. I love it. Okay, so then we have some fun ingredients going on.
Yes.
You got the canned green tea. Always fun.
Always.
Always festive.
You know, the most important ingredient in any Asian guy's kitchen is rice. Leftover rice.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah, there's that bowl on the second row. Leftover rice.
Yeah.
And then you just reheat it in the microwave?
Either reheat it or leftover rice is the best for cooking fried rice.
Yes, you actually want it to be in the fridge because then it takes all the moisture out.
Exactly.
And then it gets a nice crackle when you throw it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you make a lot of fried rice?
I do, but now I've been making a lot of Japanese rice bowls.
Okay.
Like a gyudon, or like a oyakodon and stuff like that. Super easy to make and it's delicious.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Japanese pantry is very... Are you more into Japanese food than Chinese food?
I am now, I guess, just for the moment. I mean, I grew up eating Chinese, so I'm still super into Chinese. But there's, I feel like around my neighborhood in West Hollywood, there's better Japanese options than Chinese
Absolutely.
Options. And it Japanese options is just easier to make as a one-man meal, like a one-bowl meal.
Yes.
Whereas Chinese food is more of an operation.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You gotta get the duck. You gotta separate the skin from the duck.
The whole thing.
I actually ordered an air pressurized thing so that I can separate the skin from the duck to make like Peking duck.
Oh, you made Peking duck at your house? What'd you do in the oven?
No, I have a Traeger grill, which is like a wood fire pellet grill.
Oh my God.
So you get the actual smoke on it.
That's amazing.
It didn't come out that great. I think I know what I fucked up.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get enough moisture out of the duck. You got to make it super dry before you crisp up the skin.
Wow. See, I don't go that far. I know my limits.
You know?
I make the stuff that you could make in a kitchen. I don't try to buy extra equipment or whatever. The only thing I have is like a sous vide.
And
that's fun.
That's pretty advanced.
Yeah. You know what? People think, but it's like one of the easiest things to do.
Yeah, most of those things are. Listen, when I take my air pressure hose and I stick it in the neck of the duck, it's pretty.
Where do you buy a whole duck? In the Chinese mart?
No, you can get it at Whole Foods. I bouged it up and got one from Whole Foods. Mary's.
How much is that?
Mary's makes an expensive fucking duck.
I bet.
But I wonder. I think the ones in the Chinese market would probably be better for a Peking duck.
Maybe.
It doesn't have the head on. You need that head on creepy factor.
Yeah, for sure. Cause and also, I don't know why Americans get so freaked out when I post like a plate of chicken from a Chinese restaurant. The head is on and the butt is there. The feet is there. People eat that. Like, my grandmother loves that kind of stuff.
Dude, I consider me your grandmother.
Hey.
I'm into that stuff, too. Although, there was one thing. I went to a Chinese restaurant recently that had duck tongues.
Oh.
Have you ever had that?
Yes, I did. Like, the jaw. And they fry it. It's a whole plate of it.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
That's delicious.
It was super cartilaginous. It was way more cartilaginous than I thought it was going to be.
Is that a word, cartilaginous?
It is.
Wow.
It is on this podcast.
Nice, nice.
Are you into the cartilaginous flavors?
I used to be. I when I was a kid, I mean, I grew up eating dim sum in Hong Kong, so I love like chicken feet. I would chew down, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But now as I grow up, I guess I understand what it is. So I eat less of it. I'm still very open to it. I love all the innards, you know, of like cows and stuff, like tripe and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Liver. I love a good liver stir fry.
I feel like the older we get, the more I become bored with like basic flavors, like a chicken breast or like a filet or whatever. And I think that then that's when you start going to the organs and stuff, because you're like, oh, this is exciting. I've never had this before.
Or different types of cuisine, I guess. I always buy chicken thighs. I think that's way more versatile than chicken breast.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
And I never just kind of grill it up, you know, pan fried or whatever. I try to, you know, maybe mince it to make like a Thai dish, or you know, chop it up to make some Japanese curry or something. And there's so much you can do with just some basic ingredients. You can really, you know, like if you have the right sauces, you can make any type of cuisine.
I didn't know that you were as much of a home cook as you are, Jimmy.
Recently, I really enjoy it. I think, you know what's funny? You know, I'm very blessed, like being able to act and stuff. But then whenever I show up on set, I look at the caterers. I'm like, man, that's what I want to do. I'll quit acting to cater to the set right now. It's so fun. Like, you just, it's a very physical activity. It's very primal. You're feeding people. You feel loved. You know, it's great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So that's your passion. Your day job is being on the most celebrated television shows of our generation. But your passion is doing the catering.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, Silicon Valley pays the bills, so yeah. I can cook.
So that you can cater for
someone. So I can buy ingredients from Whole Foods, you know?
How was the catering on Silicon Valley?
Really good, really good. We're great crafty. So, like, also every 3 hours or so, we have, like, snacks, like wings and stuff.
It's so easy to get fat
so
on set,
so easy
man.
To get fat. Oh, and I got really fat because... I think between season one and two, I became a series regular. That's when you start making some money.
Oh, did you start as a recurring?
As a guest star, not even a recurring.
Get out of here.
Maybe a co-star, literally two lines.
Wow.
Yeah.
You had to claw your way up.
Yeah.
I love that.
And it just kind of worked out. And then season two, we found a dynamic between me and TJ, and that, you know, got the ball rolling.
Yeah.
And then even after he left, you know, there was enough of my character to do. So I've been really fortunate with that show. And that was definitely like my big break, you know. But you know, between season one and two, when I got my raise, I was driving Uber season one. Like that was how broke
get
I
the
was.
Fuck out of here
for real. Yeah, I had a 2006 Prius, and then I just started eating so much because I could finally afford to go eat out.
Wait, hold on. Before we go on, did anyone recognize you when you were Uber driving?
No. It was season one. I had like maybe three episodes and like, you know, five lines.
Okay,
total, you know. And so by season two, I was eating Tatsu ramen every day.
Oh, nice. Tatsu is a ramen joint in LA, which there's a couple of them. It's kind of it's like the Nespresso of ramen.
It's like okay.
It's pretty
now
good.
Now in hindsight, I love their chicken ramen. It's very good. But the line, it's so overhyped now.
Oh, yeah.
I almost don't want to talk about them.
It's a crazy line.
Because the line is crazy. But the thing is, I usually go there after my sets at like 1 or 2 a.m. and they open that late, which is great. But now, even at like 2 a.m., there's a line.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they have like, it's all automated and computerized and fun like that.
Very Japanese.
But there's way better ramen in L.A., I think.
What's your favorite ramen
in L.A.? I just discovered this place that has been blowing my mind. Downtown, it's called Rakan.
Rakkan.
Oh, and actually, they have a second outpost in Tokyo. So it's like Tokyo and fucking
And they
Skid
started
Row.
In Tokyo?
Tokyo and Skid Row are there, too.
Oh, there two places. Go.
It's so good.
What kind of ramen?
Shoyu.
Oh, nice.
Shoyu
nice.
Is what they spec. So I feel like in America, tonkotsu ramen is what you see everywhere because it's very fatty and porky and thick. It's like almost creamy colored.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's American flavors are way more into that.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas in Japan, I don't know if you know, when you were in Tokyo, you were just in Tokyo. Most of the places I went to were shoyu, which is soy-based ramen, which is a lot lighter. Like, you can have that bowl of ramen, and you can, like, go and, you know.
Absolutely. Or it's like
go
a clear broth.
You don't need a nap.
Or it's a dashi broth, like a fish-based broth.
Yeah.
It's a lot clearer and cleaner. Now, sometimes I find myself, even tatsu, instead of ordering, like, the thick pork ramen, I just order, like, the vegetarian option.
Oh, wow.
So it's like dashi broth. It's really clear and it's clean.
And it's easy.
And it's easy. And like you said, you can go do a set after or whatever.
Right.
You
know? But having said that, I think pound for pound, my favorite is Tsujita Annex, which is the heartiest ramen you can get. It's called Jiro style ramen. And it is basically made for like Japanese truck drivers.
No
like,
way.
Who are going to get like one meal a day. It's... The noodles are thicker. They're sort of like a bucatini, like fettuccine-ish.
Uh-huh.
And the broth is just like pork back fat.
Ooh.
Dude, it is...
It's thick as hell.
Silly how good this is.
Is it a sukkah man?
No, it's called gyro style. Mm. And I think it's because they use the back fat in it. So it's like got like almost like a half an inch of just like liquid fat on top. I think it's impossible to finish. Like, I've never finished it. I'll finish the noodles, and then I'll have, like, half of the broth, and then I take the rest home, buy more noodles, and I can make, like, two more ramens out
of it. What scares me is whenever I freeze leftover noodles or leftover broth, because you can't really, I guess, put it in the fridge with the noodles. It goes to shit.
Yeah.
But you put it in the fridge, and then the broth the next day congeals, and you're like, this is what I'm eating? This meat jelly? No wonder I gained 15 pounds.
Yeah, it's off. It's like solid at room temperature. Mm. It's
kind of gross.
It's kind of gross.
That's why the clear broth is a little better. My favorite.
That's the way to go.
I got to say, is Santuka inside of the Mitsuya in Mar Vista. Santuka ramen, it's actually from Tokyo. I think they have a couple locations there.
Okay.
And they just have a great shio ramen. They have everything. I think it's a pork and chicken base. It's still a little thick. But the salt version of it is amazing.
That's the one that is in that supermarket?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that place is delicious.
So good.
Did you know that ramen comes to us from the Chinese?
Yeah, yeah.
It's initially, I think it was called like lamen.
Yeah, lamen.
Lamen.
I mean, it's like pulled noodles.
Right, all right. What do you prefer?
I do like the Japanese version a little more, but I do love a good, like, just wonton noodle soup from Hong Kong.
Yeah.
All those kind of more Shanghainese-style noodle soups from, like, Ding Tai Fung and, like, Tasty Noodle House, like that type.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what I grew up with. But I think...
Tasty Noodle House is legit, right?
It's good. It's good. It's pretty Chinese, like, in a way that... Like, the portions are too big
sometimes.
That's
what I'm going for. I'm going for pretty Chinese.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The portions are too big sometimes. Whereas, right. Like, Din Tai Fung is a little more subtle.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you don't feel 100 pounds afterwards.
So, Din Tai Fung, there's two of them, I think, in LA. That's probably the most popular dumpling joint.
There's a few now. In our side of town, there's one in the Westfield Mall in Century City. There's one in Glendale. But there's a couple on the east side, like Alhambra and stuff, you know.
We're going to take a break, but stay tuned for more. Back to Jimmy O Yang. What is I feel like Chinese cuisine is a blind spot for me. Like, I don't know enough. I think it's also one of those things that when I learn a little bit about it, I realize how much I don't know.
Let me be your guide.
Yeah, please.
Because
okay.
It's so complicated because there's like I think six major
It's a big country. It's a big country.
Yeah, and there's six major pillar of Chinese cuisine. Okay. I don't really know all of them, but there's Shanghainese, Cantonese, Sichuan, and the northern Beijing, and then a few other Hunan and stuff like that. So I grew up in Hong Kong, which is Cantonese food. So it's dim sum at lunch and brunch. And then at night, it's a seafood base. That's when you see all the fish tanks in its Chinese restaurants.
Yes.
So it's great seafood, and it's delicious.
Okay.
And then the Shanghainese food, it's kind of like Tasty Noodle House. And Ding Tai Fung is a Taiwanese joint, but it's Shanghainese inspired. So it's Xiaolong Bao.
The
Sanjian Bao. The
big, thick bao, like spongy?
It depends. The baos could be... A Tashio Bao is a dim sum item in Cantonese cuisine.
Okay.
But the thick pan-fried baos, that's a Shanghainese street food.
Okay.
So Shanghainese... Cantonese use a lot more alkaline noodles, like the yellowish wonton thin noodles, wavy. Shanghainese use more flour-based noodles.
Okay.
So the white noodles you see in Ding Tai Fung and stuff like that.
Alkaline noodles are what they use in ramen as well, which can withstand any amount of heat. They can like keep them boiling for like 20 minutes and it
won't
break down.
Hard to overcook it. Yeah. It has a better chew. Whereas flour noodles, a little more delicate, but... It has a good mouthfeel to it, you know?
Interesting. So I wonder who... So the Chinese probably came up with flour noodles before the Italians did.
Oh, I think the Italians, got pasta from China.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chinese, I would like to think, is probably the first to have noodles.
Yeah.
And my dad always told me this. It's interesting. You go to northern China. Shanghai would be in the middle. It would be kind of like the cutoff point. Anything north of Shanghai, like Beijing and stuff, that would be northern China. South of it would be Hong Kong and stuff. That's Canton, you know, that part of China. So south of China, people eat more rice
Okay.
Because the weather is better for growing rice.
Interesting.
Whereas northern China, people eat more flour products. So now you see in Beijing, there's a ton of dumplings and stuff.
Okay.
Because that's what they grow. Like flour, it's easier to grow up there and less rice now.
Interesting.
Yeah. So northern China.
Probably because there's less water, because rice takes a shit ton of water to grow.
It's colder up there, I guess. So maybe that's why. I'm not really sure of the science. And then you get to like Szechuan, which is like the spicy, the mouth-numbing, the Szechuan peppers.
What's that about? Why did they get so nuts about these peppers?
I love it, but sometimes it gets too much.
It's a little bit like a roller coaster ride for your...
It is. It's like going... I love going to a restaurant sometimes. That's not just a meal. It's like an adventure. Like it's an activity, like a hot pot, like a Korean barbecue. You get the hay. It's a thing, right? And then Szechuan, I feel the same way. Like you feel this like rush of endorphin, you know, when you eat Szechuan food. And it's
if you've never had Szechuan peppercorns, they're basically, they numb your mouth. They literally will numb your mouth, and they kind of change the flavor of everything, and everything tastes fucking weird. And it's like,
It was illegal up until a couple years ago in the States.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Get out of here.
I guess it's like a numbing thing that you can use to like literally get high, kind of. And then you do get high when you eat something so spicy.
Oh yeah.
And like it releases kind of mouth numbing.
Yeah, it does release endorphins.
Yeah, I think so.
That is wild. Chinese hot pot always fucks me up because I always forget that as it's on, you're just evaporating water, so it's just gonna get hotter and more concentrated and more concentrated.
You gotta keep broth. You gotta pour broth in it halfway and let it reboil.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
If you're there for too long.
I just wait until it turns into a hot slurry, and then I can't fucking feel my
that's
face
rough.
For a couple days.
So one of the great shabu places, I got a shout out to Bon Shabu. It's in Koreatown, all you can eat. They have like Chinese broth or Korean soup base, whatever. Really versatile. And what they do is at the end, when your shit is boiled down and all the flavors in that little thick broth, you know, on the bottom of your hot pot, they come in and they make a rice porridge. They pour rice, little seaweed, little egg, and they mix it all in, cook it down, and it's one of the best rice porridges.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that. Because
you got all the flavor in it.
How cool.
Everything you work for all night, it's in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you are you a fan of Chinese duck, whether it's Peking or Beijing?
I like it. I don't need to eat it every day. I like it.
I think it's probably my favorite duck that
it's
duck
great.
Duck is one of my favorite foods.
Yeah.
And that fucking crispy skin, man. Whew.
It's delish. Whew. Yeah. So that's I guess not very often do Chinese people eat Peking duck.
You're not nuts about it. I thought we were gonna bond on it, and now
I feel
like alone on this island, this duck island.
It's like eating, I don't know, like lobster. Like it's delicious, but it's not like Americans or Australians eat lobster every day. It's like a luxury thing that you get every now and then, and it's great. But
I mean, I'm not like a boy king eating duck every night. I'm just.
No, but that's your thing.
It's my thing.
I like the Chinese food that you can mix the sauce with the rice and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a sauce to it. My favorite duck is the, I don't know actually how to say it in Cantonese, it's a lo soy ngap.
Okay.
Lo soy, it's this kind of like braised broth. I don't know how exactly you make it. It's a little sweet. It's a little aromatic. And the duck is boiled in it. So it's a qiuzhou, it's a certain region that's near the Canton region. So it's kind of like almost like street food. They just have lo soy, like this thing. You know, in Japan, you know, all these skewers in 7-Eleven, it's dipped in that like broth.
Yes.
So it's kind of like that, but the Chinese version of it.
Oh, fun.
And then they have duck, they have eggs, they have like little slices of different things. And it's one of the best things ever.
Wow.
And it's a great sauce that you mix with your rice.
Is there a place in LA that has this?
I'm sure on the east side you can find it.
Yeah.
It's very popular in Hong Kong, but it's one of those very specific things. And also the duck here is not as, it's not right.
It's not right.
It's like the chicken here. It's not right.
Uh-huh.
It's a different type of chicken.
Yeah.
You got to go to the Chinese grocery stores to get like the yellow skinned chicken.
Yeah.
That's much smaller. It's not steroided, you know?
Yeah.
So same thing with the duck. And a lot of, Cantonese, I think I'm translating this right. So there's ngap, which is duck. And then ngo, which is, I think, crane, a swan.
Okay.
I mean, it sounds terrible to eat them, but whatever. It's the same as a fucking duck.
I'd fuck up a crane.
It's poultry.
And it's, I'll chew on its long ass legs and enjoy it.
Delicious.
Like a corn it's like on a cob.
Yeah, it's a better version of a duck.
Is it really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, it's a little fattier. It's a little more tender. It's
wow.
Beautiful.
Can you get that in the U.S.? Or they PETA would fucking go lose their shit outside.
Maybe if you go to a Chinese grocery store, yeah, maybe you could. Or maybe it's like a banned thing. I have no idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't. I never thought I needed a crane, and now I don't know how I'm going to live without
it. It's crane or swan, whatever the translation is. I'm not really sure.
Well, swan is a lot like goose, and goose is...
Or maybe it's goose. I don't know, man. I don't know what ngo translates to. But yeah.
I still want to eat a swan now, though. I don't care. If this...
I'm not sure they're all fucking the same. You know what I mean?
Did you find that there was any British influence in the food in Hong Kong?
Yeah, so there's a type of cuisine in Hong Kong called kind of Western Cantonese.
Okay.
So there's a lot of cafes of that. It's called Gongsik sites, which means Cantonese-style Western food. So they have like fried fillets, but then you put mayonnaise on it, but there's a side of rice, vegetable soup and stuff like that, but with a little Hong Kong twist. Cheese toast with shrimp and stuff like that, and it's delicious.
Yeah,
you can find that definitely in like, you know, one of those cafes in Monterey Park, like the east side, like ABC Cafe, whatever. Yeah. Cafe, you know.
Yeah,
we should go to one of those.
It's funny, I think British food on its own can be pretty bland and stupid.
Yeah.
But like whenever they colonize somewhere and they throw their little flair into the local food, like chicken tikka masala is like completely a British invention,
right?
It's not like Indian.
Oh.
But like they were just like, this needs a little more cream, and they just fucking added a bunch of cream.
So chicken tikka masala is like a chicken curry with cream, and like it's tomato, it's less spicy.
Exactly. It's tomato based with cream, so it was it was just to like appeal to like white people taste buds, and it's fucking delicious. I mean, but it's definitely like, it's a British invention. It has not, it was actually, I think the first chicken tikka masala was served in London. It wasn't even like served in, it was like the immigrants who came over to England.
Wow.
Made it with like British people.
What does tikka masala mean? Does that mean something?
I have no idea, dude. Dude, don't maybe, fucking. Don't. Why are you calling me out on my?
I don't.
Show?
I'm. Just, I know. I don't know. I'm asking. I what have a, no idea. Like if that's like a just a British made up word.
We're gonna cut this out, bro. We're gonna cut this out.
Losing street cred.
I think masala is masala. I'm gonna say completely not knowing, but masala might be because I've seen masala on a bunch of different things. So maybe that's like a word for sauce.
Huh? Maybe.
What is it?
Sauce or spice.
Okay,
cool. You know, I'm literally allergic to white people food. Like physically.
Now we're talking.
So I got tested for my allergy because I get a lot of sore throats and mucus. Right now my voice is fucked up because I went karaoke. And
yeah, he went hard.
Issue.
He went hard.
So but I got tested. I'm allergic to citric acid, which is anything lemon, lime, stuff like that. And cream-based stuff, milk-based things. So tomatoes and cream, literally the shit that they threw in the tikka masala, I'm allergic to. It'll give me a ton of mucus.
Wow, and yeah, tomatoes. Interesting, because I think it's funny. I remember reading somewhere that Asian people can like, they can get down with like stinky tofu, and it's like, it doesn't faze them at all. But then like a stinky cheese, like a brie, will like fuck them up.
Like just the smell will fuck us up, or like physically it'll mess
well,
us
I
up?
Think that I think like genetically, I think you guys aren't designed for the funky cheeses.
I used to think most Asian people are lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
But apparently I met a lot of Asians that aren't. You know, I guess it just, you're allergic to the stuff you didn't grow up eating.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like for me, lime and like oranges and stuff, I just get a ton of mucus.
That's why it's funny for me when in America, you see this a lot when there's like a new diet fad and they're like, you can only eat this and dairy's the devil and this and that. You're like, yo, like if you fucking grew up in Greece, you can probably fuck with some feta cheese and you'll be fine.
Yeah. And also like probably it's just American version of whatever that is, gluten or milk. That's shit.
Right.
You know, if you go to, like I've heard stories of people that are like allergic to gluten or straight up like celiac or whatever.
Yeah.
And they go to Italy and they can eat all the gluten because it's more natural. It's not like fucking processed.
Right. It doesn't have the Monsanto jizz in it.
Yeah. Monsanto jizz. There you go. That's what's making us sick.
It's that Monsanto jizz.
Monsanto jizzing in our mouths.
By the way, in your fridge, you've last minute this morning. Like, you were like, I got to send you this. This needs to make it into the pics.
Close-ups. I gotta get some close-ups.
I love the close-ups. But this wacky sausage.
This is my favorite sausage.
What is this?
Japanese sausage. A lot of it is made with wild boar or dark pork.
Uh-huh.
And it's delicious. It's tiny. It's actually maybe the size of my finger. That one's a little longer.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's really good. You can buy at Japanese markets. It's not cheap. That little pack, maybe yay big, like, you know, size of my fist, you know, it's like $11. But
no
it's
way.
Some of the most delicious sausages. Throw on the grill, pan fry it, put in your rice.
Arabiki,
it's like good. Yeah, exactly. So it's the casing has a good snap to it.
Ooh.
And then the meat is so juicy and delicious, and it's a good pork flavor. It's like naturally raised, you know, dark pork. It's delish.
You know, it's funny because one of my favorite restaurants in LA is called Nambankan. It's a yakitori joint. It's on the west side.
Okay.
It is. You just walked into Tokyo when you walk into there. It's amazing.
Oh.
But they always have a hot dog on it. And I'm like, I'm not getting the fucking hot dog. And that's exactly what you were talking about. It's
that's what you
tiny
get.
Guys.
It's the best hot dog. I had one of those at that old Moide, whatever, the Piss Alley place in
all
the yakitori in Tokyo.
Yeah.
That was the best thing, the sausage.
Wow.
Yeah.
So tell me about Japan. Did you discover anything? What did you discover that you did not think you were going to discover that blew your mind? Anything exciting like that?
I think Japan was everything I expected and more. Tokyo is my favorite city in the world now.
Agreed.
You realize LA or America in general, we're about 50 years in the past. And that is, Tokyo, Hong Kong, that is modern society.
Yeah.
They have bullet trains. They have a bullet train, the Shinkansen, since the 70s.
Yeah.
America, the greatest, I'm doing air quotes, the greatest country in the world, doesn't have a fucking bullet train.
Yeah.
Amtrak takes like 8 hours to get to San Francisco.
It's fucking bullshit.
Like, we live in the past, dude. Like, civilization is happening in, you know, these amazing modern cities elsewhere.
Absolutely.
And the food is great. People take so much pride. It's so clean. One thing I didn't expect, people don't speak as much English as I thought. You really cannot get around with speaking English.
That blew my mind.
Right?
I mean, it was so kind of pretentious of me to be like, how could you guys not speak English?
It's very American. Can you not speak my language? I rule the world. But if you go to like Paris people might be a little snobby, but they understand it.
Yeah.
Or like Florence, Italy, whatever. People like the touristy towns, they make an attempt to speak English because that's how you get a job. But in Japan, fuck you.
Yeah, they didn't give a fuck.
Learn their language.
Which I think adds to the fun. Like, you really feel like you're lost in translation.
Absolutely.
Really feel like you're in a different land.
I have to do Google Translate and stuff. And for me, it's even a little, I don't know if it's worse or better, because people assume I'm Japanese. They start speaking Japanese to me. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry.
I mean, they can't tell by looking at you that you're Chinese?
Some could.
A white person thing that.
Some could, but I kind of, like, I'm like Shanghai, my blood is Shanghainese, so like I'm a little paler and stuff. I look somewhat Japanese compared to some Chinese people. Like, I don't look super Chinese, I don't think.
Right.
So they just assume, and and I have to tell them, like, I'm sorry. And then I look like a sellout. Like, I'm maybe I'm a Japanese person that don't speak Japanese.
Right.
But the food was amazing.
What was your craziest sushi? Did you do an insane, like...
I think it's
Ginzu sushi?
Ginza... Ooh, I forgot. Ginza... Tawny sent me the recommendation. It's like Ginza whatever sushi. It's like omakase that ended up costing like $350.
Yeah. So Ginza is this area in Japan, in Tokyo, that is like... the Rodeo Drive, if you will. And it's like very, very... They have these like crazy sushi places that have like 6 seats... 1 or 2 servings a night, and it's $350 a person.
Right.
And it'll blow your fucking mind.
It's amazing. That was my first meal when I landed in Tokyo.
Wow. Jet lagged, having a 350. That's a baller move right there.
I know, right? It was awesome. But I got to say this. Everything is so good in Japan. It's hard to find a bad meal in Japan.
Yeah.
So everywhere you go, ramen restaurant, random sushi restaurant, you get like an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
But then you pay $400 and you get like, you know, a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
But it's exponentially more expensive, but it's not exponentially better. So if money's no issue, go to those 10 out of 10 places.
Yeah.
But, you know, just go to Japan. A ramen is like $10. A great uni salmon rice bowl, it's also like $15, and it'll be like one of the best meals you ever had.
Blow your
you
mind.
Don't have to go to those $400 places.
The people have so much pride in what they do.
It's a culture where literally people take a samurai sword and kill themselves.
Yeah. Absolutely.
From Shane.
On the subway. I saw it 5 times.
I mean, I just keep thinking about that. And you're like, oh, this is the culture.
Yeah.
People fucking kill themselves if they don't do it right.
And the thing that is interesting to us, I think, in America, is that they're not doing it to get any type of credit. Like, no, they're not doing it to become the most famous, this and that. Like, here, I feel like a lot of our drive is like, I need to get the most likes. I need to get more people to watch. Exactly. I need to get the most customers.
They don't give a
fuck.
Yeah.
Like, they'll turn you away. I went to a sushi place. I wanted to get sushi to go because I was like in a rush. They're like, no, you can't take it to leave. I was like, I'll pay for it. They're like, no, it's not going to taste the same if you leave with it.
Exactly.
I was like, these people, I fucking loved it.
It's legit. That's how you know, like Santuka Ramen, they don't do takeaways here.
Really?
Yeah. It's legit, man. Like, it's legit. People are so respectful. I get very angry easily. Like, I have like road rage, stuff like that in LA. I'm like, oh, what the fuck is that guy doing? Did that guy just cut in line? Like, shit like that.
Yeah.
Just little shit bothers me, right? But in Japan, never got pissed.
No.
Because everyone's so amazing. Respectful.
I don't know how they lost the war to us.
Well, it's something called nuclear physics.
Nuclear physics. Well, yeah, it doesn't matter how much pride you have. The nuclear bomb.
Yeah, nuclear. Well, I mean, we were about to lose the war if it's not for the nuclear bombs.
That's
true. And I get it.
That's true.
They're so organized and I mean, just a great group of people, man.
They're great. They're great. Back to Jimmy after this. I love soup dumplings, also known as xiaolongbao. Can't get enough of them. But how did they get the soup into the dumpling? A chef in Shanghai invented them in the late 1800s. His move was to make the filling with aspic, which is a jelly made with meat stock. Meat jelly. Hence, when you cook the dumpling, the aspic would melt, creating a soupy inside. Genius! And here's my go-to recipe for soup dumplings. Step 1, go on Yelp. Step 2, type in soup dumplings. Step 3, get in your car, drive to the restaurant. And step 4, order the soup dumplings. Almost forgot step 5, make sure you preheat your car's heater to 72 degrees. Let's get back to Jimmy. Okay, we're going to do some, we're going to get to our Green Eggs and Dance questions.
All right.
That we ask.
I do want to give a quick shout out. I don't know this man, but I've been watching his YouTube channel, Adam Liao, L-I-A-W. He's an Asian Australian person, and he makes the most, like the best and easiest Japanese and Asian food on YouTube.
Really?
I've been watching that a lot, and it's taught me a lot about making Japanese food.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very easy.
I'm going to check him out. Mm-hmm. Okay, ready?
Go ahead.
Here we go. What is your earliest food memory?
Oh, I think it's probably my dad making Shanghainese food, like the red braised pork, the soy sauce braised pork, vegetable and sliced pork noodles for lunch. He was a great cook. And also making wontons with my mom and stuff, you know.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, by hand. It's really cool.
Oh, yeah. I saw you just had that you went to that wonton party.
I went to it's my neighbor's house downstairs. He's also a Chinese American. And yeah, it was very fun. We just made our own versions of wontons. It's way easier than you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I just remembered something. You know how you would stare at the crafty people and say, that's who I want to be?
Yeah.
My version of that, when I walk by a Chinese restaurant, like, you know, the ones that have the duck in the window and stuff, and there's the dude who's got the big stump of wood with the cleaver.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And he's just like, like chopping up a fucking chicken with no regard for where the bone is.
Oh, yeah. You chop through the bone. Yeah.
Dude, that guy. I want to be that guy.
You want to be that guy? Usually those guys have a missing finger.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to miss my finger.
So chopping is your thing.
I love a good chop.
Do you have a good knife game? What's your go-to knife?
I use a Santoku knife, but I need to get better. I need to get better knives.
Oh, you do?
Here's the thing, though. I went to Japan, and I was ready to drop like $500 on a knife. Mm-hmm. And I went, and their knives are very, very light and very, very thin.
Oh, it's more like cutting through sushi.
Yeah, they were like very, very delicate. And I think I like a European knife more because they're a little more meaty.
The German knives, what's that brand with the two little Wusthof stick figures on it? Yeah, I have one of those. It's great.
Wusthofs are great.
But you know the best knife I got? One of them, it's like a $20 knife from Amazon. It's a beautiful handle. Not the sharpest knife, but it's great.
Yeah.
I keep sharpening it. And then another one I bought $5 at a Thai grocery store here. It's like a little cleaver, very thin, but it's great for chopping vegetables.
Oh, I love a good cleaver, bro.
Yeah.
I need to get a cleaver. They just look cool.
Yeah.
It's funny. I always thought, because I went to these knife shops in Tokyo, and they're like, I was reading about it. They used to make samurai swords.
Oh wow!
And then like once gunpowder came out, they're like, "All right, guys, we got to pivot, and we're going to start making things to chop vegetables." Like how much of a mind fuck must that have been for the employees there?
Yeah.
Like we're going to go from making these murdering machines to like something to make your mirepoix.
Like if Smith and Wesson started making like pots and pans,
yeah.
You know. That'd be great.
What is your death row meal, last meal of your life?
I think about this a lot. It's tough because I might actually just go for a piece of prime rib.
Because
I love Asian food and, you know, whatever. But death row, I might go to like Stinking Rose, which is one of my favorite restaurants. It's a garlic-themed restaurant. And they have a great prime rib, just like a garlic prime rib, some mashed potatoes, just eat yourself silly. Or maybe all you can eat Korean barbecue. It has to be some kind of meat, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's steak. Funny, this restaurant, the Stinking Rose, yeah. I've never been to it.
It's great.
But that's their tagline on their sign is a garlic restaurant.
It is.
And I'm also on the mission for the perfect prime rib.
Ooh.
Which I haven't been to Laurie's.
This is not perfect.
I haven't been to Laurie's either, though.
I have not been to Laurie's either, but I've had great prime ribs in many places. Stinging Rose just got a good flavor. It's not the best prime rib, but it's very garlicky and it's great.
It's good enough to have before you die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's hope we don't get to that point.
Well, in case we do, we're prepared for it. Mm. What is the best high-end meal you've ever had?
Ooh, that's tough. I don't really go to Michelin star restaurants, you know. I'll pay for a good omakase, I guess. I don't know if I can answer that question.
Really? You don't do these like crazy like French Laundry-ish type restaurants?
I have not, because those usually disappoint.
I agree, 99%
for me, because I'm there for the flavor. I don't give a shit about your presentation.
Oh yeah, I get it. Here's the thing. I always forget that's how I feel at the end of the meal.
Yeah.
And then like 6 months later, I'm like, I can't wait to do it. And then in the first course, I'm excited because all these people are there. And then by the end, I'm like, why did I do this?
I do want to go to like a set meal, like Michelin. I don't know if I got buddies to go that. Like, you know. Not everybody's on Silicon Valley.
Hey, man.
I can't just, like my buddy that works construction, I can't just ask him to go to a fucking French Laundry with me. Like I'll have to pay for the meal, you know?
Right.
And it's too expensive. Like I've been to Nobu. I think it's so overhyped and it's not fucking worth it.
No, that
place the rock shrimp is what they're known for, right?
Yeah.
The fucking rock shrimp.
Deep fried.
It's goddamn Popeyes, popcorn shrimp, coated with goddamn spicy mayonnaise. Go fuck yourself. I don't love it. You go there, like, whatever, David Spade and Ronda Rousey's. They go, they don't fucking know food. Go fuck yourselves. I'm not down with Nobu. If Nobu was, like, regular priced, it's delicious. Fine, whatever. But I'm not paying, whatever, $300 for, like, just an okay whatever meal, dude.
Yes, that is my least favorite type of meal, the overpriced bullshit Hollywood meal.
Yeah, dude.
And Nobu epitomizes that.
I mean, I heard Nobu in Malibu has a great view and stuff. I've never been. I like a good view.
It's a good view.
But I live right by the Nobu here in La Cienega.
Yeah.
I don't ever go there.
No.
No, it's fucking stupid. I'm not trying to impress nobody.
Yeah.
If you...
Shots fired. Pew, pew, pew.
What's the saying? If you don't like me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best or whatever, fuck.
Yeah.
If you don't like me at a $10 Thai restaurant, you don't deserve me at Nobu. If I'm going out with a girl and she only, like, I have to go Nobu to impress her, forget it.
Yeah, no bueno.
Forget
it. No.
One girl I dated, she made me walk out of Rune Pear, this great Thai restaurant.
Rune Pear is great.
It's great. Because she was like, it smells like fish sauce in here. I can't take it. I'm like, go fuck yourself and move back to Ohio.
But she was probably super attractive. So you're like, okay, we'll go to anywhere else. We'll go to Nobu.
She's just like this tall, like, modelly white girl. I was like, go fuck yourself. I'm done with you.
By the way, Rue in Paris is Eliza Schlesinger's favorite restaurant.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when she mentioned that on the show.
I love Eliza. I love her husband.
She loves Rue in Paris.
Because she knows food.
Oh,
she knows food. Yeah, and Blutzos. It's one of the greatest barbecue on this side of town.
That was great. What is the best low-end meal you've ever had? So it doesn't necessarily mean...
Oh, I have a lot of great low-end meals.
Yeah.
You know, Thai restaurants and stuff.
Awesome. I feel like you live in the low-end meal place.
I do.
It
doesn't matter. Like... low-end meals, I mean, at the end of the day, after tips, it costs $20.
Yeah.
So it's not like the lowest end, you know?
Right, right.
But, you know, so I studied abroad in Florence for 4 months when I was, I don't know, 21. one of the best meals I've had there, because I didn't have a lot of money. I was on a student loan. So
yeah.
I had some nice Italian meals. It's great pasta and stuff. But one of the best is this just kebab shop.
Interesting.
Yeah, this like Turkish kebab shop down the street from me. And the guy, Mustafa, he would just shave the meat and spicy. So simple. It's like $4 or $5.
Little doner.
And doner kebab. Yeah. And I ate that like every other day because I was poor. And it was delicious. It was just so good. And they put French fries in it.
Oh.
So it's like a California burrito.
That's cheating, man.
Yeah.
You put French fries in fucking anything and it'll...
But it has to be the right kind of fries.
Yeah.
That complements the meat. And that was delicious.
I thought you were going to go with, because in Florence, they have these like amazing little sandwich shops.
Oh, yeah.
That like have Italian like focaccia sandwiches that are cheap and like with mortadella.
That's
and like
pretty damn
bit of,
good.
Oh,
yeah.
Love.
Oh, you know the aperitivo in Italy?
Uh-huh.
It's like the happy hour, basically. And you pay $17 and us as dirty Americans, we look at it as a buffet.
Yeah.
But nobody does that. Like, but I'm there. I've been starving all day. I just go there as a buffet. And then you can all you can drink wine and like meats and whatever.
Love
but
it.
A normal Italian would just go there, a glass of wine and maybe one plate of meat.
Right. No, you know? Not us.
Yeah.
We'll fucking show you how it's done, Italy. What is your favorite drunk food?
Oh, interesting. Drunk food. You know, maybe I got to go back to that kind of. Like halal guys. Like, honestly, that's just so good. It's just yeah. like a mishmash of food.
Yeah.
Or, you know what? I used to do a lot of sets or like get drunk and then go to, in Thai Town, not Rune Pear, but this place on Wilton that only opens from 5 p.m. to like 4 a.m. A lot of comics go there. It's very cheap.
Okay.
It's called Torung.
Okay.
It's great. It's great. And then they have like the shrine vessel thing with the flames for the tom yum soup.
Wow.
Yeah,
oh,
so
yeah.
That
that's
place
always very
is
fun.
Great drunk food.
I love it.
Yeah.
Do you have like a go-to hangover food?
Pho, usually.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I might go get some right now after this. That's just very brothy, very clean. And yeah, it's great.
I always think it's a fine line between really good pho and fucking awful dishwater pho.
Oh, yeah. It is rough. Like MSG filled pho.
Yeah. I need to taste the fucking bones,
yeah.
The beef bones.
I got a shout out to my peeps on Fairfax, Pho Saigon Pearl.
Okay.
So it's family owned. It doesn't taste like super flavorful, like but it tastes very homemade. And honestly, I swear every batch tastes a little different. It's very subtle.
Yeah.
It's not very MSG or like very salty. It's just a good, nice bowl of pho.
I'm going to fire some shots right now.
Go for it.
It seems like every Asian culture, like every different one has their version of a soup with noodles,
yeah.
Right?
Love it. That's my favorite kind of meal.
You know who's I can't stand?
Mm.
The Korean one. I fucking have never had a Korean soup that I've liked. And I've been to all the best ones. They have that dishwater taste. Like there's something unrefined about it. I just don't fucking like it. I know everyone gets behind it. And David Chang says, you got to go to Spoon by H. It's the best restaurant.
Spoon by H, all right.
I fucking went there. I was like, I'm not. A bowl of ramen will beat this any fucking day of the week.
Absolutely. I love Korean food for their meats and stuff.
Yeah.
And dumplings.
Yeah.
But noodles I never love. Like, Mengdong Gyoja is a great dumpling joint. But they have all kinds of different noodles. Chicken noodle soup, whatever. The noodles are always kind of soggy and too long.
Yeah.
And you know what fucks me up, man? Like, in those Korean restaurants, they give you those flat metal chopsticks.
Oh, fuck you.
And you can't pick up noodles with those chopsticks, man.
It's awful.
Yeah.
And you know what? They just do that because they're probably easier to fucking clean.
Oh, is that what it is?
I imagine, because why?
It looks pretty baller.
Who on earth... Yeah, but it sucks, though. It's, like, the worst.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. Those noodles, it's hard to pick up. I can never, like, slurp it. They haven't gotten their noodle game right. I totally agree with you, man.
Yeah, I think the reason David Chang... Look, we all go for our nostalgia foods, so it reminds him of his childhood or whatever.
Yeah,
I get that.
Spoon by H seems like something a Korean mother would have probably made when he was growing up.
Yeah.
But
you
the
know what?
Dumplings in there seems...
I'd be fucking thrilled that she's not my mother, is how I feel.
Oh, whoa.
Because it tastes...
Real shots fired,
awful.
Man.
My mom's... Actually, Persian...
I don't think it tastes awful. I think it tastes fine. But like the dumplings are like soggy and stuff. It's very just homemade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Persians, you're saying?
Persians have our own version of ramen, which is delicious.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's called ush. And it's basically the soup that is made... There's no meat broth. It's all just herbs, like more herbs than you could imagine in this broth with sour limes, like dried limes, cooked forever, and then these rice noodles, and it is fucking amazing.
Is there a soup?
Yeah, that's the soup. The soup is this kind of herb concoction.
Yeah.
And it's hearty, though. At the same time,
Does it taste like Persian food? Because I like that taste.
There is a little bit of that. Fenugreek is usually what gives it that little
fenugreek.
That little taste of fucking Westwood Boulevard. Yeah, it's delicious. I mean, and there's usually a lot of mashed up beans in it too to add. That's how they thicken it.
So fenugreek, you said?
Fenugreek is a.
Is it like a dry herb?
It's an herb that, if you eat it, you will smell like it for 2 days.
Oh, interesting.
Like it just like seeps out in your skin.
Yeah,
it's really delicious, but it's funky.
Mm.
But yeah, again, Koreans suck.
No.
As you were saying, Jimmy.
Koreans have great food.
As you were saying.
Like they do with the best barbecue.
They do have the best barbecue. Their barbecue game is
up there.
The best.
It's legit.
Do you have a favorite celebrity chef or food personality?
Adam Liao.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I mean, I'm a big fan of David Chang, Roy Choi, they're friends of mine.
Yeah.
Roy, especially. David, maybe I ran into maybe a time or two. But, Adam Liao, man, he makes cooking so easy. And, like, he teaches you how to make a ramen, but he doesn't just teach you a strict recipe. He teaches you a concept of a ramen.
I love that.
Basically, it's any type of broth, clear or thick or, like, you know, cloudy, and then mixed with tare, which is, like, the shoyu or salt seasoning.
Yeah.
Mixed with toppings and noodles. So he teaches you the concept so you can make your own version of whatever you want to make, ramen or whatever it might be. But he doesn't just give you a strict recipe, and it's so soothing watching that guy.
I love that. I'm going to check him out.
L-I-A-W, Adam Liao, yeah. Or Andrew Adam, shit, I don't remember, but you'll find it.
But he's our favorite.
Yeah.
But the thing about that pantry is, like, if you have a couple of fucking choice ingredients that you just go and buy, have a good fish sauce.
Yep.
You got you know, have your mirin and a little bit of sake and whatever. It's very easy to whip something up.
So easy, and you can make unlimited variations based on. It's like every type of food is like Taco Bell.
Yeah.
You know, there's five ingredients and you can make a million things from it, right? Thai food, all you need seasoning wise is fish sauce, sugar, oyster sauce, and soy sauce.
Yeah.
If you have those four things, you can make whatever
Everything,
you want.
Okay. Yeah.
And same thing with Japanese food. I didn't grow up making Japanese food with my parents, or, like, you know, knowing what Japanese food is about. But it's a very specific kind of umami flavor that's very Japanese.
Mm.
So I realized most of it is dashi broth.
Yeah, it's like kelp, bro.
Instead of using like a chicken broth or whatever, they use dashi broth. So that's very easy. And you just go buy a packet of dashi, which is probably not the best, but buy a packet of dashi. You have some dashi broth ready.
Yeah.
So you need dashi. You need sugar, or sometimes I substitute honey.
Yeah.
And then you need mirin or sake, you know, some kind of wine and acid. And you need a good Japanese soy sauce.
Yeah.
Those four things, you're set.
Set.
You can make any Japanese food.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So easy.
Absolutely. What is your desert island food? So you're trapped on a desert island.
Ooh,
there's one thing you're gonna have to eat: breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You're never gonna tire of it.
Is it a type of cuisine, or is it just literally one item on the menu?
Let's do both. If it's one item, what is it?
Maybe ramen. Can I have different variations of ramen?
Yes,
I gotta choose.
I will
one.
Give you that.
Okay.
I will give you that.
If there's variation,
before I trap you on this island,
if there's variation, maybe if I can say like noodle soup. That would be,
because
that's literally what I eat every day. Different kinds of noodle soup. If I can go a little broader, like dim sum, because there's a lot of variation. But that might get old. I think noodle soup.
Noodle soup. Interesting.
Yeah, whatever that may be.
Okay. Love that.
Yeah.
Two more questions.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a food that you just can't stand eating? You fucking hate it.
Oh, durian? I can't.
Really?
I grew up like around durian. I never ate it. It just smells like garbage to me. I can't. That will make me throw up.
You still haven't eaten it?
I've never eaten it.
Dude.
No interest.
You have to.
Oh, you know what? I've tried durian candy and stuff like that. That's I don't like it.
That's gross.
I don't
know. No, but durian has this, it's a texture. The texture is so delicious. It's like a brie cheesy texture, and it's like a funk to it, and you just have to let yourself go. You need to lose control in the funk.
I just something I don't need to do before I die. Like, you know what I mean? Like people was like, oh, You never lived until you went like skydiving. Like, I don't need it.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
No, I know. Before you die, you're going to have a fucking garlicky prime rib.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need a durian.
And do you have, last question, what are your, do you have a restaurant pet peeve?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
When the waiter doesn't write down your order.
Maybe. It's the worst.
And then they come back. Oh my God, this motherfucker. This one place, this Italian place. I'm not gonna name the name. The food is fine.
The Olive Garden.
No, yeah, but there's this kind of like bro-y, like Guido guy there, you know, and yeah. then he's like real bro, and he thinks he knows everything, you know, and he thinks he got a good memory. So I'm like, let me get this, let me get that. And then he motherfucker comes back 20 minutes later. He's like, you got the bucatini and the... I was like, if you would have wrote it down, you don't have to ask me. And he pretended he didn't forget about it, but he forgot about it.
Yeah.
And then he asked you in a way like, oh, and you got the spaghetti meatball and the... Right? Right?
That's right, right.
I'm like, no, I didn't, dude. You fucked up. Write it down. And sometimes I straight up, I tell the guy to write it down. I'm like, hey, you sure you don't want to write this down? And they always say, no, I got it. I've been a waiter for 20 years.
Oh, my God.
Being a waiter for 20 years doesn't give you an amazing memory.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't give you a higher IQ.
No.
Okay?
The worst part about it is you have this anxiety the whole time of, are they going to get it right? And God. Then even if they get it right, you're not impressed by it. You're like, you're just like, fuck, man. Why did I have to go through that?
I'm not going
to
tip you more if you got it right.
Yeah.
But if you got it wrong, I'm pissed. It's the worst. Like, why? Who are you showing off to, dude?
Awful. Huh. Awful. I'm with you.
I hate it.
Any others?
I'm trying to think. That's the big one for sure.
That's a good
one. I can just tell you, like, that's the one.
That is a great one.
If I was to think of other ones, not really, not hugely. I'm very lenient. You know, I know it's a service industry. It's not easy.
Yeah.
You know, and
But fucking write it down. Make your job.
Just
make your
down.
Life easier by writing it down.
Yeah, it ruins my whole meal. I guess I don't like to stand in lines.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care for like scene-y line places. But then I realize everywhere in Tokyo, you got to stand in line.
Yeah, it's true. But I let him get away with it. It's fine. I'll wait in line there.
Yeah, it's orderly. Just because the restaurant's small.
It's small. And the guy has been fucking training since he was 4 years old on how to make this soup.
Yeah.
I'll wait in line for the soup.
Yeah, yeah. But LA, I guess everything is kind of a scene.
Yeah.
I have a general policy that if I got to wait in line, I don't have to go.
Waiting in line for a scene is the worst thing in life. The worst thing in life.
Craig's
the steakhouse.
I've never been. No interest. Anybody that... I judge them if they suggest Craig.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what? You want to get pictures of paparazzi? Right. Like, why would you go there?
Yeah, it's an awful place.
There's literally a boat of paparazzis outside of restaurants. Like, you want to go there to be seen. It's literally the sceniest place.
Yeah, it's awful. And worse than that, I don't think they age their fucking steaks. I think that they're charging steakhouse prices, and they're just serving you a steak from a fucking supermarket. It's not aged. It doesn't have that funk to it.
I never had the food. Is it good? I've never been inside.
No, it's not good. It's not. That's like, I would understand if it's like you got to brave these douchebag TMZ people
exactly.
to go have the best steak ever, but you're doing it for a mediocre steak.
Yeah. Same thing with like Nobu. It's like, fine.
Yeah.
I don't need to make a reservation.
I like to end this on a negative just to get you all riled up before I send you home. So thank you, Jimmy.
Fuck Nobu. Fuck Craig's. And fuck all of you.
From me, I'm going to say fuck Korean soups. I know it's not coming from you. But Jimmy O Yang, thank you so much.
This was so fun, man.
I love it, man. I love talking about food. And it's always great to meet other comics who love food because we're a rare breed.
Yeah,
because
comics usually end up eating bar food on
the road. They like to shit on fancy food or like on food nuance and stuff like that. But you're in deep.
Thanks, man. That's one of the main things. When I'm on the road, if I can get a good meal, I'm happy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anything you'd like to plug, Jimmy?
I think the paperback of my book's coming out. It's called How to American. If you want to get that on audio or the book. Fantasy Island, Valentine's Day, coming out. Wide release. Go watch it. It's a Blumhouse Sony movie. It's a complete rethink of the original Fantasy Island.
No way.
It's like a thriller horror. It's very exciting.
How fun.
I hope people go watch that.
And what are your socials?
Oh, at Funny Asian Dude on Instagram and Twitter I use sometimes. Mostly Instagram, Funny Asian Dude.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
This episode of Green Eggs and Dan was produced by Andrew Steven. Executive produced by Jeff Umbro and The Podglomerate. You can find more of their podcasts at thepodglomerate.com. The theme music is Beautiful Food by Idan, and interstitial music is by Breakmaster Cylinder. Special thanks to Irios. To see pictures of Jimmy O Yang's fridge, information about the restaurants mentioned in the episode, and more, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at StandupDan. If you like this show, please tell a friend, share an episode, and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Podglomerate. A Sonic Universe.